1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. It was Oppenheimer's night at the Oscars. As most people expected, it took home the most statues, including the big prize of the night, Best Picture. The Princess of Wales this morning saying she was the one responsible for the photo of her and her children that was pulled by news agencies because it looked like it was manipulated. Princess Kate says this morning many amateur photographers like her often experiment with editing. President Biden and Donald Trump are both expected to clinch their respective parties' presidential nominations this week. Here's ABC's Em Nguyen.
Biden travels to New Hampshire today, where he's expected to discuss health care costs. The Trump campaign has no scheduled events this week, but Trump's lawyers face a big day in court Thursday in his classified documents case.
Palestinians begin fasting for Ramadan today, the Muslim holy month arriving as ceasefire talks in Gaza are still at a standstill. Japan today marking the 13th anniversary of the earthquake and tsunami that left 20,000 people dead on the country's northeastern coast, Fukushima. This is ABC News. The White House is set to roll out President Biden's new budget plan today. It includes tax breaks for families, tax hikes for companies, and a minimum 25% tax rate for billionaires. It is unlikely to get through Congress. Military investigators are trying to figure out why a chopper went down along the U.S.-Mexico border, killing three people. They're saying that the National Guard helicopter was monitoring people coming into the country illegally west of National Guard helicopter McAllen, Texas. When it went down, investigators were talking with witnesses like a cotton farmer named Wesley Vanderpool, saying he saw the helicopter over the edge of a field and it started twirling. Two members of the New York State National Guard and a Border Patrol agent were all killed. A third National Guard soldier was seriously hurt. Some big changes may be on the way at Disneyland. Disney parent company of ABC News is asking Anaheim officials for permission to rethink its California parks by building a new attractions on what's now a parking lot. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Woogiehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden will be back in Wisconsin next week. He'll headline a campaign event in Milwaukee on Wednesday. The White House is saying no more than he'll take part in political events. The general election is underway for all intents and purposes. Biden and Donald Trump's primary opponents have all dropped out of the race. One of Wisconsin's largest lobbying groups is appealing a ruling that says that the State Department of Natural Resources can require large livestock farms to get wastewater permits before they pollute local waters. Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce's legal team sued the DNR on behalf of two large farms last year. They say that requiring large-scale farms to get the permits is burdensome regulation. Earlier this year, a judge ruled that the DNR does have broad authority to require wastewater permits. I'm Nate Woogiehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks sink the Clippers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks took over in the fourth quarter to beat the Clippers in L.A. 124-117, Giannis on how he and Damian Lillard scored a combined 69 points.
We're just trying to play basketball. You know, was able to get to his shots, get to his three. It's time that we work in practice. We did it against the Lakers. Tonight it worked. It's something that we're going to have to do moving forward. And we both have to play make in the last 6 minutes.
Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers losing to number 3 ranked Purdue 77-70. The Badgers head to Minneapolis as the 5th seed with their first game in the Big Ten tournament Thursday afternoon at 1:30 against the winner of Rutgers versus Maryland. NFL free agency getting underway. The Packers to release Devondre Campbell this week. The 30-year-old linebacker had numerous injuries the past two seasons. The move could save Green Bay $10.5 million in salary cap funds. That's sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by a little later this afternoon. Our high today, 61, with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy, 38 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, but mild, 68 for a high. On Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
And the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor, 7:06 here on a good-looking Monday morning. Segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If you've been waiting to replace broken windows and doors, or you want to revitalize your home with a new look, now's the time to get it done. Because from now until March 31st, you can get 0% interest for up to 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Give them a call. Have them come over there. They'll check out your installation or check out your house, the installation will be completed with no mess, no hassle, leaving nothing but perfect results. Remember, order by March 31st. Get zero interest up to 3 years. Set your free consultation at PellaWI.com. Time for our veteran spotlight, and we have a carryover from last week because this gentleman is so fascinating. My good friend, BJ Ganim. BJ, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How about yourself? I'm
doing really great. Thank you so much for making a return appearance.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Can you just give, if anybody missed it last week, just a little thumbnail backstory of your military career?
Sure. I joined in 96 on a whim. Served in active duty from 96 to 2000 and stayed in the active reserves. And then was called up to Iraq in 2004, injured in 2004, and then retired in 2005 due to losing a leg due to an IED.
BJ, your experiences in Iraq, they were, how do I put it? Obviously, they're all memorable, but it kind of changed your life in some ways, didn't it?
Well, I think so. I mean, I don't think I can go to war and come back the same person. I mean, we're all changed every day. But yeah, I mean, it really opened my eyes to what's going on, and it helped put me on this path to help many of us who have served kind of figure out our way forward after service.
But you have dedicated your life since then to helping veterans, haven't you?
Pretty much. Yeah. You know, I do some other things as well, but you know, you're really trying to figure out these systems, especially the ones in the government and in the nonprofits and the private and public sector, and really trying to figure out what it is that we truly need. And 'cause some of these services, for all intents and purposes, are actually hurting veterans, I think.
BJ, so when you talked about this, a lady came up to me and just thought you were so spot on with what you were saying. I mean, her husband's a veteran. And I think maybe the intent is there, but the system isn't. And you see, sometimes we reward people for being, like, sicker. You said if you're 100%, you get X, mm-hmm. you get this, and if you're better, yeah. you're not. And she just thought, yeah, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that felt the way she did, but like, what can people do? Because that's a very, very, and I'm okay with the money. There's a lot of money spent on that bureaucracy. And if it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing, I mean, someone like you who is an authority on it needs to tell us what we need to do to help.
Yeah, you know, it's, I wish there was an easy fix, you know, and you're right. The intention is there. Everybody does want to help. But it gets hard. So when I think about like the suicide rate is higher in the military veterans. Well, one of the ways to get your rating up is to have a higher in rating in PTSD, right? And so if you say you're suicidal, that raises your rate. If you can't hold a job down, if you get in trouble with the law, if you can't maintain a relationship, if you are unable to, you know, if you're involved with drugs and alcohol, those are all ways that signify that raise your rating. So as you can see, the VA is in some ways incentivizing veterans to get worse, not better.
Wow. You know, I this is not a great analogy, but I work in the homeless business, right? And you get more money the more homeless people you have. And
right,
you, you know, it's like, wait a minute, is your goal zero? I mean, every homeless shelter's goal should be zero. But if it's zero, the funding dries up. They just need to reward successes, and I don't know, we're on the same page with that, but I don't know what the answer is. Your policies are set, are they set through Congress, or do you have a different Veterans Administration board, or who sets some of the rules and policies with the VA?
So that is set by Congress. And so it goes throughout. So, I mean, just here recently, so I'm in the process of getting a new leg built, but it's been taking longer than normal because D.C. audited the Madison VA and said that we were all getting our prosthetics too fast. Being as how we would meet at the amputee clinic, we would decide what the plan is, and then the local people would go ahead and approve everybody to get started on the build. And then by the time the paperwork got up through DC and then came back down, my leg was done and I was picking it up. Well, they made that stop. And so that added about 11 months to this whole process.
Wow.
That doesn't need to be there.
Unbelievable. That's hey, BJ, I got to talk to you about one thing that is still, I can't believe you did this and what a remarkable thing it is. Talk about in Madison when the, again, for lack of a better word, riots or whatever you want to call it, disturbances were taking place, and what was happening with the Veterans Museum and what you would do every day.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously 2020 was a tumultuous year. And so in Madison, there was the riots that were taking place, and there was a lot of property that was getting damaged, a lot of tagging. There was some business owners that welcomed that for whatever reason, that's their own, but it wasn't for everything. So the museum, the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, which is right there across from the Capitol on the square, was getting tagged. And a good friend of mine who I served with, who worked for the state, and I won't say his name because the state employee or the Secretary of Veterans Affairs tried to go after him, brought it up to a lot of our attentions. And so we brought it to, at the time, was Mary Kolar, was the Wisconsin Veterans Secretary. And Mary had served on my council when I was the Dane County Veterans Service Officer. And I had a lot of respect for her up until this moment. We all brought the issue to her because the museum was covered in graffiti and there was nothing being done. And when we brought it up to her, she flat out told us that she was not going to cover up their voices. And she meant the voices of these rioters, these protesters, and what was written on the museum in spray paint. We have this all in video and pictures of it still, was things like big tanks, little dicks, you know, where's our museum, racists live here, blah, 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 right? So it was really disheartening. So what we decided to do as we were getting no recourse from our elected officials was to take care of it ourselves. And so we decided to show up and clean the museum in the morning. And so we had another veteran that lived close by. We cleaned it the first time. And then we would wait and see if it got tagged overnight. And then we'd show up before the sun rose and paint over it again. And I started going on Facebook Live talking about, and there was a bunch of us veterans that were showing up to do this, and asking that those that were doing the tagging just come sit down and talk to us. I mean, it's interesting that there was a lot of veterans that were mad at us for doing it this way and not taking bats and guns and whatnot. But
I was just going to suggest that. I was just thinking that get there a little bit earlier and catch them in the act. But okay, you allowed them to do it, and then you cleaned it up the next day. And so someone said, "Look, let's sit down with these people." Wow,
that was BJ that said, "Let's sit down." Oh,
yeah. So every day I'd go on Facebook Live. We'd show us covering up. We'd show the profanity and the just nonsense that was written on the walls. And eventually the group that was doing it came and sat with us, and we had multiple different meetings. We proposed a way for them to paint murals of past people that of color that maybe served, like one of the ones that we were trying to get up first was the Tuskegee Airmen. They're such an inspiring story.
Absolutely.
But, Mary Kolar and the rest of the state stood against it. They ended up doing their own murals after some time. But it was really eye-opening. I mean, even the chief of police of Madison, the Capitol Police, called me. I still have the one of the messages on my phone. But when I talked to him, he's like, "BJ, I'm a veteran myself. I'd be out there with you if I could, but my hands are tied. We know who's doing it, but we can't do anything about it." And I was just really put off by that too, because, your hands aren't tied. Your job is your job. It doesn't mean you have to come out there in uniform. You could come out there on your days off. And, the one veteran that I mentioned, he made sure that he was always taking time off from the state when he got involved with this. And I thought he was a little bit crazy, but in the end, he was right, because the state actually went after him to try to fire him for his involvement, for him bringing this to public light. But because he had documented the times off and he never did any of this stuff while he was on state time, he was able to circumvent that effort. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes to show just how rot and corrupt our political institutions have become all around, what I was saying before about how these political parties seem to be acting more like terrorist organizations than, a think tank for how we want to better our union and better our country through opposing ideologies.
Okay, BJ, we're going to be sending it to a quick break. You stick around, because I really want to talk about what was it like when you'd sit face to face with these people who are out there, doing all this stuff at night, and you guys are out there in the morning whitewashing over it, and to be able to sit, because I know you. I mean, you could break a guy's legs. I mean, you're a tough guy. What was it like sitting there with these people doing that and just basically blatantly telling you, this is what we're going to do, and there's nothing you can do about it? I can't even imagine how your insides had to be just churning, weren't they?
Not really, and I'll tell you when we come back from it. But I felt sorry for him.
Okay. So I was going to say, cut to the chase. How did you restrain yourself?
Yeah. Okay. This will be interesting. This is what's different about BJ. Like he just said, I felt sorry for him.
Wow.
That's the kind of guy he is. So that's why I wanted to make sure we got this story. BJ, hang on 1 minute, buddy. We'll be back with more. BJ Gannon with our Veteran Spotlight right back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Imagine, it's the final game of the season, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are making a comeback. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on a Monday morning, 7:20 in the AM, 27 degrees in Green Bay, 32 Appleton, 30 in Oshkosh. This is our Veteran Spotlight segment with BJ Ganim from the Madison area. BJ, go ahead. We're talking about how they're defacing the Veterans Museum every day. You guys were whitewashing over it, and you guys actually had a sit down with this group. Go ahead and tell me how that went, please.
Yeah, we had multiple of them. We would meet at various times, lunch, a couple times we met in the evening. And they were just entranced with Marxism, right? They didn't believe that anybody should have property. They believed that, you know, that their struggles in life were due to a orchestrated conspiracy to hold them down based on their gender, their color and whatnot. And it was just sad to see that, you know, the amount of effort that they were putting into this whole tagging thing, if they would have just put that towards building themselves up, they would have been there if they would have been able to see it. But they were very much Marxist, which is a sad thing to see. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. You can't, for me, I haven't seen any place where that philosophy has actually worked out into the benefit of the people it says it's supposed to benefit. And, you know, if you look at just the Soviet Union, you had tens of millions of people that were brutally murdered on that philosophy. So, you know, it was sad in that regard. However, you know, we were able to show them that we weren't going to stop. You know, at one point in time, this young lady was trying to tell me that it took her artist, you know, somewhere 6, 7, 8 hours, you know, to complete some of these what they were calling art. And I was like, that's fine. We've gotten it down to 12 minutes before we have it covered in beige paint, you know. So, and we even, there was a bunch of people that wanted to donate to us that we didn't ask for it. And we ended up raising about almost $7,000. And we commissioned them to actually paint a mural. We still have the mural. We weren't able to get, we had permission from the building owner because the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs does not own the building that's there. They lease it. But the Department of Veterans Affairs got involved too, and they didn't want us to hang that mural up there. So it was very convoluted. But, and, you know, I think we made some headway. You know, we tried to show them that we're not interested in fighting. And, you know, I mean, you mentioned I'm a tough guy, but at the same time, like, I mean, there should be an escalation of force. You shouldn't just go right to physical conflict. You know, you got to be able to take in all the other attributes first and all the other ways to come to a resolution. You know, it's okay to disagree. I think, I don't know why we've lost that ability lately, it feels, you know, especially in the mass media, that it's all right that if we don't agree, but you don't have to mandate things be the way that you want them to be.
But they've got to learn that too, though. I mean, you restrained yourself. Yeah. You could have gone to physical force, but what they did was akin to that. You know, they didn't start off talking to you saying, you know, we don't understand this. So they just went to, it wasn't physical, but it was graffiti. It was tagging, whatever you call it. I want to talk to you a little bit more about, because this happens, that's a very small group of people that feed off a lot of social media and internet stuff to get more worked up, right? And that there's other groups like that with different issues. How did you just get the meeting? Like, what was just, I think that in and of itself is a huge step. Like, how did you coordinate that first meeting? Let's sit down and talk to each other. And I'll give you a lot of credit for
absolutely.
Doing that.
Absolutely. That's why I wanted to bring this up, BJ.
I'm not sure I would have been.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, like, so I said we would go Facebook Live and just do it. And we were out there, we were cleaning up, and one of the guys was one of the main artists, just walked up and saw me doing it. And started talking to me. I said, listen, yeah, we're not interested in fighting you guys. We're not looking for retribution by any means. We actually wanted to stop. And I mean, to their credit though, too, you know, after a few weeks of us meeting together and breaking some bread, they're the ones that protected the museum. You know, during the rest of the riots, the museum wasn't getting hit anymore. You know, whether it was because it was pointless or because we inspired them, I don't really know. But at least, you know, we had a lot of, I mean, I even started reporting about how, you know, it's been 10 days, 12 days, whatever it was, and we had no graffiti on the museum. And that had to do with them. I mean, it was coordinated on the streets, if you will. And there was a lot of political influence. I mean, the couple of people that were heading up this group were welcomed in by the governor and the mayor and all these people. I mean, it's interesting to find out that, you know, here last year I learned that that person is actually on a sex offender list. He actually raped his sister and was charged and convicted of it. And he was touting about as running a homeless shelter, which he shouldn't have been able to been around vulnerable people. So it's just interesting to me how the politics and the people in power, they either are really, really dumb or they're really, really manipulative. And that's what's really the most scary thing about all that's going on, is that there's political factions all over the place on either side of the political spectrum that are signing off on things that everyone knows to be wrong.
But I still think it's phenomenal that you had the patience, the whatever, to, you know, to talk to them, to sit down with them. Like you said, I just think that's pretty amazing. You know, I mean, there is, I'll tell you a term that somebody told me one time. Remember Solder City?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, they were getting hit really hard. And then, you know, some of the civil affairs people in that went in there and just really started taking care of the people. You know, meeting with the regular citizens and everything, and that helped really bring about where the bad guys were. And the captain, I remember him telling me it was a non-kinetic solution to a kinetic problem. And it almost seems the same what you did. It was a non-kinetic solution.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, everybody wants to talk a big game about fighting this and fighting that, but all violence leads to is more violence.
Right.
And it's not that I'm against violence by any means, like, but it's... It, violence is always on the table. It's always an option, but it has to be the last option. And then there's no, like, too often, I mean, we've already seen it in these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We didn't have a clear outcome. Like, you need to understand what you're using the violence for. What is the outcome that you want to see? And typically, it's you go full Saxon, right? Like, yeah. Where you demolish, you close with and destroy the enemy. That's the Marine Corps, you know, first directive. But if we're not going to destroy the enemy, then you can't use violence, right? And, you know, the sad thing was is that none of these, you know, for whatever reason, the state government, the local government at the time decided not to prosecute or even charge people for property damage and these other quote-unquote victimless crimes. But they dang sure would have prosecuted us if we did anything violently, right. And we knew that. And so you have to put your emotions into check. And at the end of the day, you know, another reason I feel sorry for these people is they're being used as tools.
I
don't
that.
Realize it.
Totally.
Well, BJ, we're out of time, my friend. I'm going to get you on again if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Actually,
and there's a lot
okay,
here.
Okay, wait, Todd? Could we hold you off? Could we put you on hold and talk to you again when we come back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right, hang on. Great. Thank you, Todd, doing this. Okay, hang on.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I know you come across a lot of food labels in the grocery store, but maybe this one has stuck out to you. It's called the Wisconsin Healthy Grown Program. It's a partnership between the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association and the Division of Extension. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. This Healthy Grown Program helps farmers meet their on-farm sustainability goals, and in return, growers can use the label on their products. They're looking for more farmers to get involved. Extension specialist Dina Knutson walks us through the process of signing up.
I get that question a lot. It's like, how much time is this going to take me? Is it going to be a lot more paperwork? Or, you know, I already have so many requirements just to sell to get in there. So what do I need to do? Well, the first step is to reach out to either myself to get an idea of what it is on the research science side or the WPBJ office and talk to them about how you want to get certified. And we actually have kind of a mentoring system now for the older growers that have been doing it for a while to help the younger growers or the newer growers so that the paperwork is not overwhelming or burdensome.
Dina Knutson with the Division of Extension encouraging growers to sign up for the Wisconsin Healthy Grown Program. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
One of the biggest logistical challenges for many farmers often occurs on the roads just outside their farms. Wisconsin farmers help feed the world. They need to have reliable roads to get food from the farm to the market. Encourage your town or county to apply for the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program. $50 million are available now to fix the posted roads that have been holding you back. The deadline to apply is April 5th. Find the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, floods. What you see in real time helps tremendously in the warning process. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to relay local weather observations. Tracking vital weather information also plays an important role in gathering climate information used in our daily agricultural workday decisions. Volunteer citizen scientists have been lending a hand for decades and thoroughly enjoy this very important hobby. To become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
Yes, we would love to see you sign up to help the National Weather Service. As you heard, it's easy to do at WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org. And it's not just for reporting what falls from the sky, but also what doesn't. Most of Wisconsin did not see its typical snowfall amounts. Your weather report can help raise awareness of that lack of moisture. For businesses that depend on snow, drought assistance is now available for you. This includes losses for winter tourism activities. You can apply for the disaster loan through the U.S. Small Business Administration. You can learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, don't forget to sign up for our morning e-newsletter and be the first to get farm news delivered to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy by a little later this afternoon. Our high today, 61 with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy, 38 tomorrow, mostly cloudy but mild, 68 for a high. On Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of 57. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Veteran Spotlight with BJ Gannon. We're holding him over. BJ, I appreciate you taking the time, my friend.
No worries. No worries, man. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. And talk about the amazing things that were taking place down in Madison. And I will say this, when you guys mobilize, when the veteran organizations mobilize, I mean, there's still a brotherhood there that's pretty amazing, isn't there?
Well, there is. I mean, I'm lucky. When we went to Iraq, Golf Company was the reserve unit I was a part of, 2nd Battalion, 24th Marines. And so the 200 of us that went to Iraq together are still very, very close as this comes up to our 20-year anniversary of being there. And they were a core group of it. I mean, we have other veterans from other units, other branches of service, too, that we've since have a, you know, work well with and do a lot with. But you're right. There is a strong fraternity of veterans that we do stick together. I mean, we're a shrinking population, like I mentioned last week, and that's what it's about. I mean, the Marine Corps especially, the motto is Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. And that, you know, more importantly than anything else, is always faithful to each other.
But BJ, I'll give a lot of credit because you're kind of trained and schooled, but even with your brotherhood of combat, you know, I mean, and yet when you dealt with these people who were vandalizing something very important to you, you know, the Veterans Museum in Madison, this group of people, you went through these steps of, you know, let's have a meeting, let's talk. And, you know, it's like with anything, right? You just de-escalate first. And I mean, even with our police force, right, the last thing we do is shoot them. But, you know, there's supposed to be like 6-7 steps you go through. And yeah, I'll just give you, I was telling John during the break, I'll give that guy a lot of credit for someone who's been trained in,
right,
you know, combat or military or, you know, kill or be killed, to really sit down and work with people, even though the support wasn't there like it should have been for you, and you just kept your patience. And
yeah, I mean, a lot of that was in Iraq, too. Like, I mean, we sat down with a lot of the neighborhoods. I mean, again, the majority of people in Iraq were just trying to survive. A lot of the terrorists were coming from Syria and Jordania and Saudi Arabia. There was obviously Iraqi people that were participating in it, but they were mostly like mercenaries. So, you know, if you lose people, I mean, we lost 5 guys from that deployment in Iraq. You know, it's the movies make it all glamorous and romantic, but it, you know, if you lose somebody, it makes you stop and think. And again, like, to be able to be violent against somebody, that's not, I think, something that's in human nature when the rubber hits the road, right? I mean, it's one thing to imagine it. You can let your emotions kind of run awry. But actually performing it is a totally different thing. And that's some of the things that really bothers me about the rhetoric in the country right now, is that most of the people prophesizing that we're going to be in a civil war and all this fighting stuff have probably never even been in a schoolyard fight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, BJ. When you're over there, and obviously, you know, the Marines train people really well for, you know, one very specific job. But when you're over there amongst your guys and you do start taking casualties, it opens up a person's eyes more than you'd ever imagine, doesn't it, though? I mean, and I can just say that just from my trips to Walter Reed Hospital, where you'd see these young people just so torn up. And you're right, it does get glamorized or whatever, but when you're really there and you see these things happen, there's nothing that compares to it, is there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not that I've experienced in my life. But, I mean, that's also not just what happens to us. It's what they do to each other. So one of the things that was, you know, most disturbing was how the Shia and the Sunnis were treating each other. You know, they were at war with each other. And the things that they would do to whole families was really disturbing. And you can kind of see what the human spirit is capable of in the evil way. And history is littered with this kind of stuff. You know, again, we mentioned the Soviet Union and everything that went on there, but we have to be mindful of that, that, you know, in our attempts to try to right wrongs, we actually end up becoming those wrongs themselves. And so you always have to keep that at a balance because evil is evil, and evil most likely gains its foothold by convincing you that doing evil things is good for humanity, and it's not. You know, we're seeing that right now with a lot of this. I think a lot of the censorship that's going on, a lot of the ways that we're trying to use our laws to preemptively strike against people we view to be on the wrong side. That's not how it's supposed to work. You got to have civil discourse. In order to have civil discourse, you got to have freedom of speech. I mean, it's just, some person has to be able to tell their truth. I might have disagreed with those people that were doing the things that they were doing in Madison, but they believed it. And we came to a compromise because we were able to find a common ground and agree to disagree on some things, but also set forth ways of interacting with each other. So they respected our museum, which is what our goal was to keep our museum clean. And we respected their right to continue their own fight as long as they didn't hurt any of us or the property that we cared about.
I think that's commendable, that what you did, because there are other factions who fight other things, right? We're talking about the tagging of the museum in Madison, and you were offended by that. And instead of, you know, kind of fighting fire with fire, you went down and sat down, had lunch, broke a little bread with them, which I think is really commendable. Are you pleased with the out? Does that work? I think sometimes we're like, okay, you know what really works is, you know, the most extreme. But is it working? Yeah. You've given so much to this, and you know, okay, you're a lot more patient than me or Mino would be. And I'll give you a lot of credit. I just think what you did is very commendable, and I think you should be an example. But I want to get, has it worked?
Yes. I mean, you look at where we are now and where they are, I think it worked.
Right.
It didn't go. And at the end of the day, there's more things to get on with. So I'm
right.
More concerned about, you know, my kids' hockey schedule and everything else that's going on in life. You can't just dwell on these things. Yeah, it was a flare-up. We were able to come to some sort of consensus. I mean, the thing that really irks me the most is how the political elites, you know, responded to it, as they take money from us and supposed to be taking care of these things, and yet we all had to take time off of our job, away from our families, to get there, to do the cleaning, to do the negotiation, to do the diplomatic work. And yet they just sat back and were almost trying to encourage it to happen. So it makes me wonder why we have these institutions if they're not going to be held accountable. And if anytime we try to hold them accountable, we get in trouble. So that's something we have to look out for. I've never even imagined that America could be where we're at right now today in this political realm. And I think it's something that we should all be concerned about.
Hey, BJ, one last thing here. Can you give me a little synopsis once again, what you've done with dogs?
Yeah. So Sierra Delta was a nonprofit that founded 7 years ago, really just trying to look at not just so much the service dogs, the ADA service dogs, the ones that open the doors for you and all these other things, but really just focusing on the companionship and the team building, which is what 99% of the veterans need. The majority of us are not blind. We're not mentally incapable to some degree. And a lot of the other disabilities that require dogs in the past, no longer need dogs because we have robotics and we have sonar and so many other technologies available to us. But that bond between dogs and humans is something that's been around for over 35,000 years, and it doesn't take much investment. And what most of the veterans miss was actually being on the team, being a team leader. And so by incorporating training grants to where they could get involved with local professional trainers and work with the dog they had or adopt a dog out of the shelter. Again, we kill 800,000 healthy, trainable, and adoptable dogs every year in this country. You know, already 68% of American households already have a dog in it. Why are we recreating something that doesn't need to be recreated? You know, it's not that everybody needs to take a dog on the airplane, or not everybody needs a dog to go into hospitals and the movie theaters, but almost everybody, especially after the pandemic, could use something like a dog. And I think, you know, the mayor, I believe, is one that talks to his dog, right? And both of you guys have dogs.
I do. I just sent Johnny a picture this week, and it was his 2-year-old. He's 2 years old, and we went shopping, and
yeah,
someone took a picture of us shopping, picking out a toy. Yeah, I love my dog, but and I'm also leader. I'm a leader. Like you said, I'm in charge.
You're right. Exactly. So, I mean, let's start with the things that we can do first and then escalate. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, instead of trying, I mean, the average cost of quote unquote service dogs in this country for veterans, they're saying is $35,000, and that's hogwash. You know, it's literally about $3,500 in training, and it works better, especially when the veterans know that they don't have to take these dogs everywhere. And that's the thing. We don't need to create dependency. And that's the problem that I see with a lot of our social services, is that it's not trying to get to an end goal. It's creating dependency. And we can't afford that. And we don't need dependent people. And it's the same thing with welfare. You know, our best fight against people that are unemployed is to create government jobs where they actually have, they're accomplishing something. What is the point of paying somebody to stay home?
When are you going to run for office?
I was just, because Johnny gives me a hard time about that, but really, we've had, I don't know, 200 guests on, I think, so far. And BJ, I'm serious about this. You really need to take the next step. I know you got kids, you got hockey, and it's a time commitment. You got to really get the family behind you, but those are practical solutions that I think people get caught up in a bureaucracy. They get very, insecure about decision making, so they just let everything go. And here you are with
let's find solutions.
Right, not everything works, but I mean, you got to try different things, and something.
Yeah,
will
absolutely.
Work.
Are you thinking about
and
it?
That
all,
was
BJ?
The whole point.
Yeah.
What's that?
You thinking at all of running for office?
I mean, it always crosses my mind. I mean, the thing is that if you look at what we're going through right now, like, it does feel hopeless. I mean, if you look at just the presidential election, just because we happen to be in the president. Are you telling me that these are the two best candidates to run our country?
Out of 320 million?
Yeah.
No, right.
You know, so, and if you, you know, just looking at it from the outsider and just my experience with what would happen in Madison and just talking with all these quote unquote elected leaders, I didn't see a smidge of leadership anywhere and still don't. And that's, and I'm not trying to be, you know, disrespectful to you as a mayor, but I think most Americans feel this way,
yeah,
that we're being dictated to instead of represented.
I think you'd be awesome in office. Man.
Yeah, I just,
yeah,
you know, you got to talk about it, pray about whatever you do. But I mean, really, it's, we need leaders that we just do. And we can talk about this offline, but there's some things we can do right now and institute limits to get some of the old guard.
Oh,
over
absolutely.
There. You know, that has to happen. Yep. We have it in Green Bay, but boy, the rest of the state is just lacking in that. And obviously, we lack it in Madison and D.C., but and that opens up some opportunities too. But you know, you got to get good people to run and people like you too.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. You know, it's just not. And you're right. This political environment and social media makes it even more difficult. But you know, you're pretty solid.
Well, the money and what you have to do to raise the money is not something I'm willing to do.
I can help.
Well, I'm willing to talk.
All right, we'll do that.
I think you should. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. He is always, he's like an NFL scout. I was looking for talent.
I am.
He's that way politically. And he finds people have certain qualities, and he really tries to encourage them to get involved.
You'd be great.
Yep. BJ Gannon, thanks. Thank you so very much. I have all the respect in the world for you and your great service to our country and your great service to our community. You're a winner, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Keep up the great work, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, right, BJ. Thanks. Talk to you soon, buddy. BJ Gannon, how
what a guy,
great of a young guy is that?
Right.
Amazing. Hard to believe that we said 20-year anniversary of going to our... It's like, wow!
Right. We're getting old.
All right, when we come back, long-time familiar voice to the Green Bay Airwaves, Kathy Larkin will be joining us back after this.
If you bring your blue sky back, all you do is call me.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Finally, the mayor here, 7:50 on this Monday morning. Isn't BJ an impressive man?
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, those people are out there, and it's nice that
and that's one that I think you should actually go after and encourage to get into.
Thanks for calling me an NFL scout. I feel
you are like that.
I do.
I talk to people.
I talk to my students, and
you've never said you should get into politics.
Yeah,
though?
I do.
Who?
I do, John. There's a few people
me.
That are, yeah, they're good people.
Somehow I was guessing that.
Never encouraged me.
No, Johnny. Yeah.
I couldn't make it either.
Kathy Larkin joining us. You know what's funny? I could close my eyes and just hear your voice, and it's like just brings me back to like
some interesting days. Times.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You still got that voice, but it's funny how in radio, and we've talked about this before, if somebody hasn't met you, the sound of your voice forms their entire
absolutely.
Just a voice.
Yeah.
It's funny how big a voice plays and stuff like that.
Yeah. And they meet John. And they're like,
oh. There's no question.
That used to happen to me all the time.
Right.
But, you know, on the other side of it, well, I think people always thought I would be this tall, statuesque woman, you know, with dark hair and, you know, and then they meet me and go, oh, you're her.
Oh, that happens.
And it was just like, yeah, well, thanks.
Yeah.
You're not what I thought you'd look like.
Yeah.
Get that
listeners,
all the time.
Though, that would call in all the time, you know, regular listeners, that would be the same thing, though. You'd picture them.
Yes, you're right.
And you'd meet them and go,
right.
Oh.
You're 100% correct.
So I got it. I got it because it happened to me, too.
It happens both ways.
Yep.
I want to kind of get in the conversation with you radio gurus, but even in politics. Even in politics, and I was on TV more than you guys on radio, but a lot of people would say, man, I thought you'd be taller. And I'm like, so did I.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
But that happened all the time when I started. But
I bet all three of us wanted to be taller, actually.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one thing, though, too, Kathy, when you're in radio like that, it's funny, and you realize it sometimes after you've been out for a while. It's like people don't miss a beat. Like we were at the game the other night, the GB game, and in between games, you know, up in the corridor there and everything. And I'd had three or four people come up to me and start talking about things of that I've said on radio or something.
You have no idea.
Exactly. And it's like, how do you people remember this stuff?
But doesn't it tell you, because when I got out of radio now, it's been 23 years ago. I can't even believe it. that it makes you feel good that, because when I got out, I thought, well, I didn't really do anything worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really, I was just having fun.
BSing
and,
for a living,
right,
as we say.
Right. And, but when people still to this day say something, I feel like, okay, I
you
guess.
You made an impact.
Yeah, you do. And it's, you know, you, like you guys in the morning, it becomes part of your routine.
Yeah.
Hearing those voices, it's part of your routine. And you don't realize, I do now because I listen in the morning to different types of radio. I listen to you guys.
Thank you.
But when I get up on the treadmill, I watch like my Good Morning Football, Get
sure.
Up, and all my sports shows. And without them, if I don't have that on, I feel like my day isn't quite starting the right way. So I get it now, but in the time, I did not.
You're exactly right. Yeah. Totally agree.
And what a compliment. Like that, as a politician, when people come up to say, I voted for you, that's like that. Well, thank you. Like that. That's something you just couldn't do. And when people come up, and Johnny and I were at the a couple things together, and people come up and say, look, I listen to you guys. And that's really, you're making an impact on them a little
yep.
bit, you know,
yep.
not a lot of it, but we're part of their routine. I
yep.
think that's very cool.
Yep.
Very
it
cool.
Is.
And I'm
it
sure
is.
You enjoyed that for many, many years.
I did. For 20 years, I did that.
I
don't know if I enjoyed all of it, but I even
what
know
time
a living.
Did you start?
5:30, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
5:30 in the morning. So I'd get there at, well, I was
5:28.
Well, sometimes, yeah. I usually got there around 5, depending on how far away I live from the station. And one time I lived in Dykesville, so
that was tricky. I was good at walking in, and I have to have my sports cap, and literally
I
just
can imagine.
Remember that? And
oh,
just,
yeah,
the
I do
first
remember.
One just swinging.
I think we went to your
Boy,
little
is he
studio.
Changed on Todd?
Yes.
He still comes waltzing in here.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, once a rock, always a rock, right?
Right
it just doesn't
right.
change.
He can...
But you know what? You were still in an era when we worked together over at, what was the name of the company? Laird?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was no, Laird Broadcasting
Laird
at first.
Broadcasting,
right,
yeah.
Before it was Cumulus.
Yeah, before it was Cumulus.
Yep.
But that was old school radio. And I'm really glad, and what I mean by that, and I'm really glad that I saw part of it, because there was still an AM music station.
Yep.
And it was still, that radio station was the same as it would have been in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. So it was good.
Aesthetically, too.
Aesthetically,
and equipment-wise.
Absolutely, no question. But it was neat that I had a chance to see old-time radio. I shouldn't sure call it old-time radio, but you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The way it used, because things now are just, and Todd and I talk about it, people had to be so dexterous. Back in those
you
days.
You had to do it all.
You had to do it all. It was incredible versus now where, you know, everything just fires on its own or whatever like that. But,
well, you have an awesome producer, too.
Well, we got the greatest producer in radio right
that.
Here. That's not even a question.
Right.
But it was good to pull the curtain back and see how it was, you know, the sausage
The Wizard
was made.
Of Oz.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's why I'm really glad I got started in radio when I did.
Yep, me too. It was in the good old days.
It really was. But, you know, another thing, though, too, it's like, you know, there's been so many fewer companies. You know what I mean? There's such big conglomerates that the mom and pop ones used to be great. I mean, there is something special about the old mom and pop radio stations.
I used to, my first job, I read, you know, all the farmers markets and stuff.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. I did all that soybeans, corn, feeder cattle, live cattle, read those every day in my small little town where I first worked. Yeah. I read news. I sold ads. I wrote commercials. I did all of it.
One of my favorite Murphy stories is he was in Ishpeming. Okay.
But just fun to say.
Yes, where I was born. I was born in Ishpeming.
And
it was his first job and tore up his knee playing basketball, ACL. So he's in the hospital, laid out, knee up in the thing and everything. The owner of the station comes and goes, well, if we're still paying you, you're going to be working. And Murphy goes, I can't work. He gave him a phone book. And he said, start calling, make some sales.
Wow. Yeah,
that's
how it was.
In the hospital, he brings him a phone book, says, you got to make sales calls.
I hear stories about your industry, and it was really like that. I mean,
oh, it was.
The big Christmas bonus was a crisp $10 bill.
Yep.
You know, just, and you guys worked. I mean, you weren't wealthy people. I mean,
we did it for the love, not for
the
money.
The work you guys put into, and I hear these stories. I mean, it's obviously new to me, but wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
and
they didn't have any, like, I went into radio into my mid 30s, and we had no, I was just talking with Todd about this. We had no 401ks or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Nothing.
I mean, I spent every penny I had because my dad, of course, talked to me about that many times, but I didn't listen to him.
You talk about, you know, the insurance and the benefits were lacking in that industry. But the other thing is that, you know, there was, in the private sector, there's warnings and things before you got let go. They, you guys, they just walk in. And
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, not even. Oh,
don't bother showing up tomorrow.
Hey, right. Hey, Jim, you'll see. We got to send a quick break. Oh, Kathy Larkin joining us for some fun here back after this.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.